This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Once again, I want to greet you and welcome you to our lesson today. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. And again, if you would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. And the program can be re-listened to there. It can also be downloaded and passed on as an attachment through email. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would be happy to take your prayer requests and any comments that you might have on the program. Now today we've come to the new year. This is going to be heard on January the 7th, so we're into the new year about a week. But I've been thinking about beginnings with regard to the Bible. And of course, when we think about beginnings, we always have to think about eternity. And when we think about eternity, we understand really that we don't understand it. There's an eternity past that we know nothing about. And there's an eternity future that we know a little something about. But really, we live in a period that we call our history. We call it time. I am not convinced that time did not exist in an eternity past or in an eternity future. I know that after we die, we talk about eternal life. Of course, that eternal life begins the moment we're saved. But after we die, there's going to be things that are going to take place. We're going to live, if we're saved, in the city four square, in the house that the Lord is preparing for us, or the mansion that the Lord is preparing for us in John chapter 14. We're going to live there, and it appears to me that at least for part of that time, we're going to be there during what's called the millennium. That's 1,000 years of Christ, of righteous reign by Christ, and so those 1,000 years will be measured. Then we go into the eternal state, and we really don't know what the eternal state involves exactly, what we'll be doing and how we'll be serving the Lord, excepting that when we read about the beast and the false prophet and those who have rejected Christ, they're thrown into a place called the lake of fire. And in the book of Revelation, it says the smoke of their torment ascendeth day and night forever and ever. So I've always had a little difficulty preaching that there is no sense of time in eternity, although I realize that this could be a way of expressing something that we don't understand. But apparently there'll be a sense of time, day and night forever and ever. So eternity is hard for us to understand. And so when we come to the Bible and begin to look at beginnings, we always have to ask ourselves what beginning is being talked about. And it's always a beginning of the story that is being developed in the context. So for example, when we come to Genesis chapter 1, and verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Now, that wasn't the beginning of time. God already existed, and we'll see that from John chapter 1 and other passages. But this is the beginning of the story of the creation. I actually believe it's a story of recreation, but we won't go into that now, of the earth. I think the Lord had formed the earth and the heavens, and I personally believe that everything the Lord creates is good. And so when we read about the darkness in creation, I believe that darkness ensued because of the fall of Satan. And I don't know just how all that happened, but I believe chaos came into the earth, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, not because that's the way God created it, but that's the way it became when Satan fell. That's my personal conviction. And so when we look at the story of creation, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's a whole story by itself. "And the earth was without form and void." It became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So I look at this beginning not as the beginning of time, but the beginning of the story of the creation that we enjoy today. We could almost refer to this in the way we did some of our stories for children, nursery rhyme stories and other stories when we were growing up, where we started out with Once Upon a Time. Once Upon a Time. We don't really know when this happened, but we know it did happen, and we know that while we can't put a chronological date on it, the evidence is there that the story did happen. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And because He created the heavens and the earth, and He created those of us who are living on the earth today, it appears that we should take note of the fact that we have a Creator God who has revealed Himself to us not only through history, through creation, through conscience, but through the Bible. And ultimately, in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. And so we know about God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a very important beginning that we have in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2. And I'm going to read that to you. It says, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." And this was told to Israel just as they were about to be delivered from Egypt, after they had applied the blood of the Passover lamb to the doorposts and lintels of their homes, and the firstborn children who were under the protecting care of the blood were saved when the Lord passed through the land that night and destroyed the firstborn of really the pagans, the people in Egypt who were worshiping gods that were not real but were mythical. And so in the beginning here, we have a new creation, a new beginning, and it speaks to us of the beginning that each of us need to have when we're saved. We know that in John chapter 3, and I refer to this often, we read, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, we all have birthdays, and we're supposed to have not only a physical birthday that somebody tells us about, we don't remember it, but we also have a spiritual birthday. But I believe the spiritual birthday is represented by the story of Nicodemus, who had come to the Lord by night, and he did remember his spiritual birthday. And I believe that Paul remembered his spiritual birthday. And these were, he of course was born again on the Damascus Road, and I could give you other examples in the Bible of people who had spiritual birthdays. Even Samuel at 12 years old in the Old Testament appeared to have a spiritual birthday. So these people all had a new beginning with God, and the fact that the children of Israel as a nation were going to be saved on this night that was the beginning of months to them, they marked their new beginning, their salvation, on the calendar, and they remembered it. And this is a very important date nationally for the children of Israel. As I understand it, the children of Israel have both a religious new year and they have a secular new year. The secular one falls, I believe, in September. But this is the new year that's important. And so this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And I trust that we have a new beginning with God when we were again made new creatures in Christ because we trusted in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us at the place called Calvary. So then we come down to Mark, and Mark says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, again, this is not talking about eternity. This is talking about the story that Mark is going to tell us with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, it proving Himself to be the Son of God and dying on a cross. So this is the gospel, and he says this is the beginning of the story about Christ. So again, looking at it in its context, it's not talking about eternity at all. It's talking about the story that Mark is about to tell us. He's telling us this is where the story begins. Then we come to John chapter 1, verse 1, and this takes us right back to the story of creation in Genesis 1. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, this again is the beginning of what is going to be revealed to us about the Lord Jesus. And in the beginning was the Word. So this actually probably precedes the story of creation in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, but we don't know when that beginning was, but this is really the story of the gospel as John is going to tell it. It's not the beginning of eternity. It's the beginning of our understanding of this one who was born at Bethlehem and became who became the Savior of the world. And so the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now the Word is always an expression of something else. It's a way of communicating. It's a way of describing something. And so in this particular case, the Lord is the vehicle that conveys the message. He's the Logos. He's what we see when we write something on a piece of paper. He is the vehicle that conveys the message. But we find out as we go through the Bible that he's also the message that is being conveyed. And so John is just making it clear that as he begins to write about the Lord, he's writing about one who is eternal. He's writing about one whose beginning did not start with his birth. His beginning was, we don't know, there is no description of his beginning because he always was. And that's really the way he's revealed in the Bible. His name in the Old Testament was Jehovah. And that simply meant the ever-existing one, and we're going to see that same thing in the New Testament. And John constantly writes about the Lord who says he is the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. And it's really saying, when he says I am, he's usually referring to that eternal aspect of his nature. He's the eternal Son, the ever-existing one. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word existed before he was born, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then when you come down in John's Gospel, chapter 1, he says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And so John is just simply telling us that the one he's going to describe to us did not have his beginning at Bethlehem. He had his beginning before the creation of the world. And so when we come to the book of the Revelation, we see that same thing again at the very end of the book of the Revelation. We read these words. The Lord says to John, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am the Alpha," that's the A. "I am the Omega," that's the Z, A to Z, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He encompasses everything we know about God, about time, about eternity, about creation. These are the bookends of the story of the gospel. The beginning is the Lord. The end is the Lord. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I hope that you have come to know that this eternal one is the one who paid the price that we might have eternal life. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who will be listening to it. We thank thee for them, and we pray for thy blessing in our Savior's name. Amen.